Scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 17. We'll be reading Matthew's account of the Transfiguration, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the New King James translation. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.
What an awesome privilege it is to be here on today, to be with my brethren. It's good to see everyone here as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We have engaged in a great fellowship with our God, with our Savior, with one another, and I'm thankful for these opportunities. This month, we are talking about authority. And Brother Brian started us off on last week concerning the authority of Christ. And we're going to continue down that vein and look at some other ideas concerning hearing him. And what does that mean? When we think about authority, it literally means to have legal power or a right to command or to act. When we consider the authority of Christ, we understand that Jesus has all authority. Many today, and it has been growing more and more increasingly evil, really despise authority. When you think about authority and talking about that, people don't want to talk about it. But why? Because they don't want anyone over them. They don't want anyone telling them what to do. We're seeing it in our school systems, being married to a teacher, the high school level. For some reason, teenagers don't want to be told what to do. But not only that, they become very disrespectful. And I hear those stories all the time. But we're seeing it even in our society. We see individuals that really don't like authority. Parents, I guess, are not either teaching them the roles of authority or the children are not adhering to the teaching. We see it on the television or some of the videos where individuals who are pulled over by officers of the law and they have the gall to say, I don't have to give you my license. I don't have to show you my insurance nor my registration. But if you remember, especially those who are my age and a little bit older, there was a time in which when a person was pulled over, they would say, I'm pulling you over in the name of the law, or stop in the name of the law. And the reason why is because that police officer was representing the law. He was an agent, or she was an agent of the law. When we stop and we consider Jesus Christ is a representative of the Father. He represents his Father. Jesus never went rogue. He never went his own way. Never did his own thing. As a matter of fact, when we stop and we consider Matthew 17, 1 through 5, which was read in our hearing, we understand that Jesus has authority. God said something very magnificent. We'll delve in that in a few seconds here. But when we consider the authority of Jesus Christ, he didn't take that authority upon himself, that rule of law. As a matter of fact, it was given to him. I want us to consider for a few minutes a brief look at Matthew 17, 1 through 5 and some supporting passages. One thing, when you're studying the Word of God, you want to gather all of the information, at least as much as possible, before drawing any conclusions. Why? Number one, John 10, 35, the scriptures cannot be broken, which means that if my conclusion breaks a clear passage, I have the wrong conclusion. I need to go back to the drawing board. Number two, we can't do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 7. And so with this being said, we want to understand what was going on top of this holy mount. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration, if you will, or the Mount of Changing Figures, Changing Form. We see the same idea or the same lesson in Mark chapter 9, verse number 9, 2 through 9. We also see it in Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. But we also get a glimpse from Peter's own mouth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. And so you have to ask yourself, why did Jesus choose Peter, James, and John? Why Moses and Elijah? Why did we hear a voice speaking from heaven? When we consider Peter, James, and John, and we think about Old Testament passages concerning evidence, God is one that always leaves himself with witness. He always has evidence. So when we consider passages like Deuteronomy 19 and verse number 15, where by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Jesus could have easily went up on this high mountain apart and transfigured and no one be there, but who would have seen it? God always leaves himself with evidence. He left himself with evidence with Peter, James, and John by the mouth of two or three witnesses. But also, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. I want us to notice something. In Luke chapter 9, verses 28 and following, we find the same account. And again, this is why, as we're studying the scriptures, we want to look at all of the pieces possible. If I have some legal problems, I want to make sure that my attorney is looking at all of the evidence. I don't want him leaving anything out. I don't want to stand before a judge or a jury and my lawyer, my attorney, didn't do his work. Well, we see Matthew's account, we see Mark's account, and Luke's account. In Luke chapter 9, verses 28 and following, notice, now it came to pass about 8 days after these saying that he took Peter, James, and John, or Peter, John, and James, and went on a mountain to pray. As he prayed, this is why he was up there, friends. He was up there praying. The appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses is the great lawgiver. We know that God gave Moses the law in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1 through Exodus 20 and verse number 24 and verse number 4. And the reason why is because he was going to be speaking through Moses, through Moshe, but also Elijah. Elijah was the great prophet. And it would be John the Immerser, John the Baptist, that would actually come in the spirit and power of Elijah. And so here you have Moses, the great lawgiver, and Elijah, the great prophet. And they're talking with Jesus. But what are they talking about? Verse 31, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. What were they talking about? They were talking about his death and how he was going to die on the cross. Friends, can you imagine that conversation? Can you consider that conversation? Can you consider what Jesus was about to go through? And we know that he was going through a very difficult time in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to verse number 46, because he was in great pain and anguish. And Luke would actually bring out his anguish as it relates to his sweat glands being broken down by his blood vessels. So he was under great stress, They're talking about this situation here. I would venture to say, as the God of comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and following, that Moses and Elijah was probably talking to Jesus and giving him great comfort. Moses, he finished his job. Elijah, he finished his job. And now, Jesus, it's time for you to finish your job. It's time for you to go to the cross. Time for you to finish the work that was given to you. Remember, Jesus said in John 9 and verse number 4, I must work the work of him who sent me while it's day. The night come, no man can work. Jesus came to finish the work of his Father. When he was on the cross, he said, it's finished. I'm done. God, being the God of comfort, sends Moses, sends Elijah, not just for that reason. We'll talk about a little bit more about this. But Jesus finished his job, and now we have to finish our job. We got to do our work. And the very fact that Moses did his work, Elijah did his work, Jesus did his work, we need to finish our work. But notice verse number 32. But Jesus and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. Matthew doesn't bring this out. Luke brings this out. And the two men who stood with him, then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, three places of worship, three places of glory, three places of honor. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Peter often said things that he didn't have no business saying. However, while he was saying this, verse number 34, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, listen, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, why would God tell Peter, James, and John, why would he say, listen to him? I truly believe because God, being who he is, always wants to eliminate all confusion. No, we're not listening to Moses. No, we're not listening to Elijah. Moses, the great lawgiver. Elijah, the great prophet. Now we're going to be listening to Jesus, who is the great lawgiver and the great prophet in one man, Jesus the Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 16. Notice what the Bible here says. For we did not follow cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Peter says. But were eyewitnesses. Remember, we talked about Deuteronomy 19 and verse number 15. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God always leaves himself with witness. You would do good to do yourself the same. Make sure you do yourself the same way. Of his majesty. For he received, notice what Jesus received from God the Father, honor and glory. When such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, notice the adjective in front of glory, the excellent, the majestic glory, the magnificent glory. Notice what God the Father is called. He's called the excellent glory. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mount. We'll stop there for a second. We'll come back to verse number 19, because it's important for us to understand that when we think about Moses and Elijah and them talking to Jesus on this holy mount, and Peter, James, and John viewing this, seeing this man pray, seeing his form change, and then Peter saying what he said, and the cloud coming overshadowing them, and God saying, no, I need you to listen to my son. But why is that important? Because we're talking about authority. Most people in the denominational world believe that they're under the Ten Commandment laws today. that we're listening to Jesus, listening to Moses. I keep the Ten Commandment laws. I'm under the law of Moses. Friends, we're not under the law of Moses today. We're under the law to Christ. In Luke 16 and verse number 16, we understand that the law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of God is preached. And so with that being said, we understand that the law of Moses had its place. The prophets had its place, but they led up to John. And here comes John preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John had the authority to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus takes the baton from John. John is beheaded. Jesus continues with the same message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's coming. It's coming. Why? Because Jesus has authority. God gave him that authority. And so when we consider Jesus being heard, friends, we must listen to Jesus even today. Not Moses, not Elijah the great prophet. And if you look in your notes under letter C, Jesus is the one who is commanded to be heard. Under number 3, Jesus, he changed right in front of them, transfigured. He changed his form. Jesus is representing the change from the law and the prophets to himself. God just doesn't do things just to be doing them. But what did Peter, James, and John actually see? They saw Jesus in his true form, in his true essence. They saw deity. God in the flesh. They saw his form of deity. Can you imagine seeing that? Friends, we can see the deity of Christ in our lives if we live out his word in our lives, if we have the mind of Christ. But remember the point we made about people and how they're submitting themselves, subjugated themselves to Moses. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Brother Leon, remember we was talking about this particular point? In Acts chapter 3, starting at verse number 22, if you want to listen to Moses, fine. Listen to Moses. Let's see what Moses had to say. In Acts chapter 3, starting at verse number 22, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like unto me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. Even Moses says, you need to listen to the one that's coming after me. Listen to Jesus. He has all authority. For the life of me, I don't understand how someone as intelligent and I would say a genius, brilliant as Ben Shapiro can't see this. He can't see that Jesus is superior, that he is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the one that we ought to bow down to because he's King. He doesn't see that. He just sees him as a good man. He doesn't even see him as a prophet, if I'm quoting him right. Now, he cannot deny the existence and the historicity of Jesus Christ, but he denies him as being God. Friends, that's false. Jesus has all authority because God gave him that authority. But I want us to go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want us to notice verse number 19, because we need to listen to Jesus, because even Moses says, listen to Jesus. Listen to the one that's going to come after me. But what happens when my understanding is not what it needs to be? Should I just not do it if I don't understand? I understand you got passages like Proverbs 4 and verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And then all that getting, get an understanding. However, we understand that there are times in life that you have to move, that you have to do, even though you don't have a full understanding of it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19, we read up to verse number 18. We made a few comments. Now look at 2 Peter 1 and verse number 19. Peter says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Brother Brian was talking about confirmation this morning in Bible class. The Word of God is confirmed. There are a few ways that God confirms His Word. He confirms His Word through the miraculous, miracles, signs, and wonders. He confirms His Word through preaching. He also confirms His Word through the living out of His Word. We become the evidence of His Word, Hebrews 11, verse number 6. We understand, friends, that there is confirmation. What confirmation? Peter says we have the prophetic word confirmed. The very fact that this man here changed his figure and God himself said some words and those words validated this man, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. We better listen to him. We better listen to him. But why should we listen to Jesus? Because he is a confirmed man. He's the confirmed Son of God. He's the confirmed Messiah. But notice what he goes on to say, and this is why I made the comment earlier that we have to do what is right, even though we don't have a full understanding. He says in verse number 19, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until, that's a time word, the day dawns and the morning star arises, talking about Jesus, his word, where? Notice the location, your heart. Children don't understand everything that parents tell them to do. Mom, I don't understand that. Baby, I just need you to trust me that I'm telling you what is right. Until you come to the age of maturity and you understand it for yourself. Peter is saying to these brethren here who are scattered, Pontus, Asia, Bithynia, Pamphylia, and he's telling them, I need you to just take me at my word, the confirmed word, until you come to the understanding yourself. And at times, brethren, we get in trouble because, well, I don't fully understand it, therefore I'm not going to do it. If it's right, you do it until you come to the full understanding. Young people, hear that. Because I've been young before. And I know how it is to say, well, I don't fully understand that. I ain't going to do it. But if it's right and it can't be wrong, you need to do it. And as you get older, you experience life a little more, you say to yourself, you know, I'm glad I listened to Jesus. I'm glad I believe the gospel. I'm glad I believe the prophets. And so when I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 37, why should I listen to the Apostle Paul? Why should I listen to Peter? Why should I listen to John? Why should I listen to these men? Because even Paul said that the things that I write unto you, they're the commandments of the Lord. Why should we listen to Jesus? Even though we don't fully understand what goes on in baptism. Why should I listen to Jesus? Even though I don't understand fully what goes on in the husband-wife relationship. Why should I listen to Jesus? Even though I don't fully understand the authority of the government, Romans 13. Why should I listen to him? Because he'll never lead you in the wrong direction. You keep doing what's right until you come to the understanding of it. Until the day dawns in your heart. Till that morning star rises in your heart. You keep doing what is right until it begins to make sense to you. So I said all of that to give you point two. Jesus has all authority. And for the life of me, I don't understand how a Christian can say, well, they're not a member of the Lord's church. They're not a Christian. I don't expect them to live right. I do. God does. God expects all men to live morally upright. God expects all men to be right with him. He expects all people to live right within a society. And for this reason, we understand that Jesus Christ has all authority. In John 17 and verse number 2, Jesus was thanking his Father that he had authority over all flesh. The last time that I looked, we have flesh, therefore Jesus has authority over us. Everybody must listen to Jesus. For this reason, we take the gospel to the world. In John chapter 12, 48 through 50, Jesus didn't take that authority upon himself, Brother Chad. He got it from his Father. He said, he that rejected me and received not my word have one to judge him. Watch this. The words I have spoken, the same to judge him in the last day. I haven't spoken to my own authority. I haven't went rogue. I haven't done my own thing. But the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. And there are benefits to God's word. There's benefits to humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you one day. And so Jesus himself understood that he himself received authority from the Father. But what does this have to do with the non-Christian? Everything. Because Jesus has all authority and God gave him that authority. In Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 15, turn your Bibles there. Take notice, brethren. And I'm telling you something that actually happened. Having lunch with a brother and was talking to this lady. And we was talking about worship. And she said, I don't have to go to church. I don't got to go to church in order to be a Christian. I say, so what if I was to take you to the Bible and show you where Jesus teaches that you must worship him in spirit and in truth? Would you believe it then? She said, no. You know, I was done talking to her. Yep. Didn't fuss with her. Didn't order another piece of food nor drink on purpose because she was hot. Brother Royce, remember I told you that? She was hot mad. This just happened the other day. Well, if you call yourself a Christian but won't submit yourself to the authority of Christ, you're no Christian at all. Because God gave him that authority. Jesus speaks on behalf of the Father. The Father told him what to say and what to speak. And Jesus is just uttering the words that his Father gave him. And so, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, again, Jesus has all authority. Which means that no one else has any authority. A-L-L still means A-L-L. And so, in Mark chapter 16, starting at verse number 15, and he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news. Preach the glad tidings to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Jesus said that. Jesus has all authority. Jesus tells the world, if you want to come to the Father, if you want to have your sins washed away, if you want to be saved, you got to come through me. And I tell you, this is what you got to do. And then you'll have the false teachers in the denominational world that will pin Paul against Jesus. And the only thing I have to do is believe in my heart and confess with my mouth and I'm saved. That's false. Because in Romans 10, 9 and 10, you have to pass up Romans 6, 1 through 6 to get to Romans 10, 9 and 10. In Romans 6, verses 1 through 6, he's telling the church that had already been baptized into Christ, according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 9 and 10, this is what you did. Jesus has all authority. The apostles' doctrine, even the apostles understood that. Look at point number three. Jesus and his authority over the Christian. As we just said in 1 Corinthians 14:37, he's talking to the church at Corinth. But turn your Bibles to Colossians 3 and verse number 17. I'm not trying to be mean, brethren. I've just come off a couple of gospel meetings. I'm in a good mood. I really am. But I was talking to a false teacher in the church of our Lord a few years back. And he said, Colossians 3, verse number 17, and I quote, don't mean what we say it means. I said, well, if Colossians 3 and verse number 17 don't mean what we think, what it says it means, then what does it mean? If I don't have to obey God, if Jesus Christ doesn't have all authority, whatever you do in word or deed, do all by the authority of Jesus Christ. If that don't mean what it means, I don't know what life means. Jesus is teaching us through the Apostle Paul as he is writing to the church at Colossae. He's telling them that whatever you do, make sure that it goes through me. Brother Royce, is that far-fetched? Brethren, whatever we do, let's make sure it goes through our Lord. Let's make sure that it goes through Jesus. Let's make sure that it goes through the apostles. Teaching, Acts 2:42. Jesus has all authority. And because he has all authority, we should listen to him. We should never act outside of the will of God, the will of Christ, the word of God. Jesus has all authority. And Jesus put that authority in his word. When you think of the transmission of authority, God the Father was the one that gave Jesus Christ all authority. gave him his word. It was Jesus Christ when he went back to his Father, Acts 1, verse number 9. And they sent the Holy Spirit, John 14:26. They sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus would even say this in Mark 9 and verse number 1. He said, there'll be some of you that would not taste of death till you see the kingdom of God come with power. It came in power in Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 5. It would be the Holy Spirit that would actually inspire the apostles. Notice the transmission of authority, the transmission of revelation, the transmission of communication. It would go through the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and the Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. Hold on. When I read God's word, I'm reading the authority of Christ. You better believe it. When I obey the word of God, I'm obeying the authority of Jesus Christ. You better believe it. So when I do what God says according to his word, which means that God is not speaking to me in a dream. He's not speaking to me in some auto voice. He's not speaking to me any other way besides this word that goes against most false teachers you'll come across. Brethren, we got to hear him. We got to hear Jesus. And Jesus was the one that sent the Spirit, and the Spirit inspired the apostles, and the apostles and prophets, they wrote. And when they wrote, we read, and when we read, we obey. Friends, we got to hear him. And so as I close, we should hear him concerning what? Number one, our personal development as Christians. Are you developing? We don't want to be the type of people like Paul was addressing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. He had to approach them as babes because they were not growing. God wants us to grow in grace. God wants us to be a people that are developing. Are we developing? Philippians 1 verses 9 through 11. This was Paul's prayer. I want you to develop. I want you to be spiritually mature. I want you to develop. But what do you want us to develop? I want you to develop your mind, your emotions, your spiritual mind. Why? Because God says we can do hard things. Brethren, we can do hard things. But this world that we live in is so soft. They want our men to be soft. They want our boys to be soft. And they want us as the church to be soft. Well, you got another thing coming. Because we ain't soft. You can't make it the glory of being soft. It's going to take everything in you to obey his authority, to do his will, and hear well done. You don't fall up into heaven. You work to get there. What are you working on? Yourself. You can't work on no one else. You have to work on yourself. You have to rid sin in your own life, rid selfishness in your own life, get rid of Satan out of your own life. Number two, what should we hear concerning our purposeful desire for contentment? Brethren, are we content? Are we content with what we have? Are we content with the spiritual life that we have? I hope not. I hope that we're steadily gravitating more and more into the person of Jesus Christ. All of us can get better. Every last one of us. And we should. And as long as God has given us another day to work on self, we ought to say, I'm not content with what I did yesterday. I want to be better today than what I was yesterday. I want to think better. I want to be better. And I want to be what God would have me to be. I want to submit more to his authority, because when I don't, that means I'm submitting to my own authority or the authority of someone else. I need to submit to Christ's authority, delegated authority. And lastly, we should hear him concerning our practically drawing near to Christ by listening to him, by drawing near to him with every part of our heart. Hopefully he'll lift us up one day. Friends, who are you listening to? The world that we live in is just like in the days of Adam. It's that wife you gave me. It's that woman you gave me. That's why I wasn't listening to you. Or we can be like in the days of Saul. The people wanted me. The people wanted that. No, friends, let's listen to the Lord. He's the one that we're listening to. If you're not a child of God, you're not a New Testament Christian, you're not a member of the Lord's church. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the word of God and do it. And I promise you, you be faithful. Jesus will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful for a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter in the joys of our Lord. Question, who are you listening to? Brother Mike, I listen to myself because I'm a self-made man. Well, even Jesus wasn't a self-made man. Jesus relied upon his Father, and he did what his Father said. It would behoove us to follow him. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been listening to him. Every now and then we find ourselves listening to our own emotions, our own will, our own lust, our own desires. And then we come to ourselves and say, I shouldn't have done that. Every time we sin, it's because we're not listening and doing what he says. Praise be to God, we can listen to the God of heaven through his Son, and we can listen to him and get it right. Why? Because he's faithful and just to forgive. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.